Praise the Lord, it is good to see you. I'm just clicking away up here, but nothing's yet happening. Okay, hopefully it'll go from there. Fresh start, new setting. What do you think when you hear that? Fresh start, new setting. Well, you know, from time to time, it's just really, really important that we remind ourselves of what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says, God specializes in giving people a fresh start. God specializes in that. And maybe there's somebody here today that you're saying, well, that sounds good to me. Sounds good to me, personally. I always let the Lord be the initiator of when he thinks I need a fresh start, though. Because otherwise, I'd want a fresh start every day. And in some ways, I guess you could say, Jeremiah said the Lord's mercies are new every morning. So in some ways, we could say it's a fresh start today. But I'm talking about, you know, strategic points in my life where the Lord knows I need a fresh start. And maybe even a new setting. I derive this today from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 18 and 19, where once God said to his people at a very key time, he said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. Okay, sir. So, church, let me ask each one of you this morning. Are you willing to let the Spirit of God change your status quo?
Yes.
Are you truly prepared for the Lord to do something new in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, if this is his time, are you prepared for it? Say something new. Yeah. How about something unexpected? Something out of the ordinary? Are you ready to follow him down roads you've never traveled? That one got quieter. That was funny. It was like I'm hearing this volume and then go down a road you've never traveled. It's like... Okay, let me try this one. Are you open to the possibility that he might bless you in an unexpected, perhaps even startling way?
Yes.
Okay. Startled by the Savior. That sounds like a book. Startled by the Savior. Now, look, I know none of us would be so arrogant as to say, I know it all. Yet, from time to time, you know, we may adopt an attitude of pride that finds it stylish to be critical, cynical, or even kind of laid back, you know what I mean? And yet, this prideful attitude hamstrings our ability to move into the fresh and the new. And it grieves the Spirit of God. It really does. You know, one of the things I have noticed so many times in reading the Gospels is that that's how I often have viewed the Pharisees. You know, they were pretty conservative, and they actually John the Baptist was aligned with the Pharisee party, and they were real conservative. They really wanted to follow the Word of God, but they were pretty locked in to their ways, you know? I mean, and Jesus comes along and says, hey, I've got something new. John the Baptist said, hey, there's something new. He broke out of that. He was called to prepare the way, right? But they just always seem like they're laid back and playing it cool. They're critical. They're watching him with a cynical eye. You know what I'm saying? And look, it cut them off from receiving what was new and fresh. And that really grieves God's Spirit when we're like that. Like, hey, you can't teach this old Christian dog new tricks. There's nothing here new. No, listen, I mean, who says you know what's next for your life? Who says God can't use you in a dramatic, holy, unexpected way? Who says he can't lead you into a season of life and ministry beyond anything you've ever experienced so far or have even dreamed of? Just who is the limiting factor here? I mean, is it God? No. Or are we capable of closing our hearts to what he wants to do in and through our lives? Well, this is the questions that, yes, I'm asking myself. And so I think maybe if I'm asking myself these questions, that maybe some of you are too. Well, you know, a great help to our answering these questions is actually found in the story of a woman named Ruth in the Bible. How many of you have heard of Ruth?
Yes.
Hey, listen, Ruth's story is a real story from the past that teaches us about God's interactions with people like you and me. Ruth was a woman who faced new challenges in a new environment. And her story reminds us that, and hear this, please. Again, I say, at any point in his timing, God may be calling each of us to new opportunities and places. In his timing, how we answer his call will shape not only our lives here on earth, but also it actually shapes our eternal future. So it's very, very important that we get it right and that we don't miss it. And so, church, drawing upon the insights of others as well as my own, I want to talk with you regarding how God is calling you and me into new things this morning. And Ruth's story is perfect to do just that. Okay, let me give you the essential backstory of Ruth quickly. It's this. There was an immigrant woman living in Israel by the name of Naomi. After both her husband and her two sons passed away, and what a tragedy that was, Naomi allowed her widowed daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, to go back to their families in a territory named Moab. Orpah sadly agreed and hugged her mother-in-law goodbye and left to be with her own people and their gods. And we never hear of Orpah again. But on the other hand, Ruth decided to stay with her mother-in-law despite not knowing the challenges she was going to face in this new land. But here's what's interesting. She preferred to hold on to her new family instead of going back to her old life. Wow, Ruth 1:16. Ruth replied to her mother-in-law, "Oh, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Wow, that's quite a memorable declaration and promise, isn't it? Have you ever heard that one before?
Yes.
Sometimes that's used at weddings, one of the wedding promises that is made. Okay, so folks, Ruth was all set to take a leap of faith and discover what this God of Israel had in store for her. I think that's amazing. And as David would say later in Psalm 34:8, she was prepared to, I guess, taste and see that the Lord is good. She wanted to taste and see. It brings to mind the story of a young boy who went to the local store with his mother. The shop owner, he was a kindly man, passed the boy a large jar of lollipops and invited him to help himself to a handful. Uncharacteristically, the boy held back. So the shop owner pulled out a handful for him. When they got outside, the boy's mother asked why he had suddenly been so shy and wouldn't grab a handful of lollipops when offered. The boy replied, "Because his hand is much bigger than mine." He's no fool. I already like this kid. Ah, but do you see it with me there, everybody? That's essentially what Ruth did. Yeah, she took a leap of faith and discovered what this God of Israel with his big hand had in store for her. Wow. And friends, I believe it's fair to say that Ruth's decision to accompany Naomi was the big turning point in her life. You know, we all have turning points. We all have pivots. Maybe that's the best way of saying it. We all got these pivot points. But a full-scale turning point, that's something else. And maybe you can look back in your life and say, oh yes, Pastor Rod, I've had pivots. But then there are those moments that were these signal, truly turning points. Of course, I would like to believe for anyone who has come to know Christ as their Savior, you would, with me, identify that as the biggest turning point in your life, right? When you gave your heart to Christ. But there are all other kinds of turning points, subordinate ones, that are tied to that and maybe even preceded that, where you'd say, wow, big turning point in your life. So here's this woman. I mean, I would have to say when she lost her husband at a younger age, was widowed, wow, was that a turning point? Yes. Had immigrated to this other land, was that a turning point? Yes. But the biggest turning point in her life was actually this decision she made to accompany Naomi, her mother-in-law, to help take care of her mother-in-law. Because by the way, in those days, no Social Security, no safety nets. Ruth made a decision, very selfless, to say, I'm going to be here for my mother-in-law in this new land. And yes, because of her dedication, she was led by God to a new season, a new location, a fresh start in a new setting. And here's what's amazing. She even found a new love. Before it was over, she found a new love in her life. Now, at the time, Ruth didn't know what was going to happen because of her choice. She couldn't even imagine what would come out of her decision at those desert crossroads. All she knew was that she'd made up her mind about where her life was going. And because of that, her life blossomed like never before. Say with me, a blossoming life. Blossoming life. But again, friends, those gifts and good things came following her choice to stay loyal to the God of Israel no matter what happened. Your God will now be my God. Your people will be my people. And that's when things really start picking up. Because then our story explains this in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, now there was in that area there a wealthy and influential man in the Bethlehem community named Boaz. Now, hear this. Interestingly, he was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Now, you have to understand, this kind of work was very menial, very difficult, and it was because of their status, being poor, having to go out and just pick up the gleanings after the, you know, threshers went through. Anything that was left, she said, can we have it? Can we have this for us? And Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. There's a picture of her. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Now, this is amazing. Okay, church, quick summary. So Naomi's dearly departed husband had this rich relative named Boaz. Ruth asked Naomi if she could go to the fields to pick up leftover grain. She ends up in Boaz's field, again, who's related to the family. There's a picture of Boaz. Well, you'd say that was pretty uncanny and amazing right there, that of all the places she could have gone, all the fields around town, she ends up in his field. But then something really beautiful happened. It says Boaz, in the scripture, sees Ruth working in his field, and he asks the foreman about her identity. He said, who's that? And when he finds out she's a widowed family relative, he chooses to step in to save Ruth's life from poverty and futility by becoming her kinsman redeemer. Now, in the Old Testament, a kinsman redeemer's role was to preserve the family name and bloodline. And so Boaz here redeems both Ruth and her deceased husband's property. He had to go to town and talk to the elders of the town to get the thing arranged. It was a legal matter. But he had compassion on her as a young widow and wanted to redeem whatever estate that he had. And so his heart is moved and he sacrifices to take her in. And it's a beautiful example from the Old Testament, really, of someone who put others before himself, just like really Jesus did for us. In a sense, we can make the application, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And you know, this story really has a beautiful legacy. It gets even better as it goes. After they married, Ruth bore Boaz a son named Obed, who was the future father of a man named Jesse, who would become the father of King David, the famous king of Israel. What a story. What an amazing story. So this young immigrant widow, Ruth's fresh start in a new setting led to her becoming the great-grandmother of arguably the greatest natural king Israel had. Wow. That is a story. And the Bible tells us that it all began when Ruth just so happened to find herself in Boaz's field. Now, does anybody here really think that was a coincidence? After her making the declaration that she made, that crucial decision, look, saints, I don't think it was a coincidence. I've learned over the years that when you truly seek God, He will guide you to where you need to be to fulfill His plans for you. Especially when you need a fresh start in a new setting. You know, over the years, many individuals have shared their struggles with me, you know, expressing their desire to discover the will of God in their lives. But dear one, as you pursue it, listen, it's important to remember that God's will can actually be found. I know sometimes it feels like it's hard to know what that is and where that is. But you say it can be found? Yes, it can. Where? Well, listen, within your heart. God's will can be found within your heart. For it is God at work in you both to will and do His good pleasure. God's at work in your heart to both will and do His good pleasure. That ought to be encouraging. Within your heart is where God's will be found. Now, yes, please don't misunderstand me here. Do seek outside guidance from godly people when you're trying to discover the will of God. Yes, do educate yourself biblically and otherwise. Do plan meticulously, but always remember that in the end, the key to discovering God's will lies within your heart. And why is that? Because that is where the Spirit of the Lord resides. The Lord's speaking to you here. So, loved one, the bottom line is this. When you fully commit to following Christ and living according to His teachings, you will inevitably align with God's will in your everyday life. But that is the essential requirement. Fully committing to following the Lord and His teachings, it just has a way of literally just dialing you in to the will of God. The Spirit of the Lord's working in there to just craft all the coordinates. Make everything just come together so you'll know. Now, after you come to that conclusion, though, that I'm serving the Lord, I'm lining up with him as best I can, I'm committing my life fully to Jesus, I want God's will, then you got to trust he's going to guide you, even if the path seems challenging and full of obstacles. Yeah, you just got to keep your heart open, and he will lead the way. He'll get your feet there, one way or another. One way or another. Now, true, the way may not be in a straight line. I know we all would prefer that. Lord, the shortest distance between, you know, two points is a straight line. Lord says, I know that. But in God's plan, your journey into the will of God might include a climb over some jagged mountains. It might dip down through some dry, rocky valleys. But he'll get you there. If you're committed to walking in his will, as we've described. You know, church, I want to say it's also, though, in this regard, amazing to see how Ruth discovered her path and her destiny out in the harvest field. Now, this is interesting, the location this took place. And I want to submit to you, that is not a coincidence either. You know, when we focus on the idea of harvest in the Bible, what we're thinking about is how we can make a positive impact on others by showing love, by serving, and by sharing the love of God in Christ. Yeah, the harvest field, God's harvest field, is a place where meaningful connections are formed and they are strengthened, and where our true purpose becomes clear. However, if you and I lose sight of this purpose and we stop helping others, we are limiting the potential for good things to happen in our own lives. You see, it's important to remember that reaching out to others and serving them is key to finding fulfillment and joy in our lives. This is so important. I want to just make it clear. You see that what God's purposes are in Christ for us is that we're his vessel to make a difference in the lives of others. I mean, God cares about me. He wants me to have an abundant life, me and my family. He wants to bless us. He wants to show us his plans and purposes. But listen, I'm only going to really enter into God's great plans for his life, his plans for my life, is when I want to get in his harvest field and mingle with the grain. I want to mingle with people. I want to be able to start loving on others and serving them in his name. I mean, if I just want to sit by myself, I'm going to shortchange the process. Now, listen, I want to say here to be sure, we can't earn our relationship with God through our own efforts, but we can definitely deepen our understanding of that relationship when we focus on what matters most to him, the harvest. And around you and me, there's a harvest all the time of people. Around us, all the time. There's these waves of grain. They all represent a person, people. And so, Lord, I want to be able to focus on what matters most to you, that we would reach people, touch people, love people in your name. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to say, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. I follow Jesus. I'm out amongst the grain. I'm here to give my life as a ransom for many. I'm here to love on people. And when you're out there in the grain, gaining for the Lamb the reward of his sacrifice, which is Christ died to save sinners. Christ died to save the lost. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That when we're out loving God's people in the body of Christ and those outside, and of course our families and right in the middle of that, our personal families, but when we're finding ourselves waiting amongst the wheat, that's where the purpose of God becomes clear. This is so important because we're living in such times where we want to isolate. Oh God, show me your will. God says, start waiting out amongst the wheat. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you doing any wheat waiting? Now, of course, the opposite then is also true. I'm saying that our not being found in God's harvest field and focusing on it can have a spiritually detrimental effect upon our lives. Yes. I actually think it's fair to say I've observed a recurring theme often present among those who become bitter in their lives, people who are lacking fulfillment, who turn negative. They blame God. They indulge in self-pity. They question why good things never come their way. Folks, this common thread is often simply diminished ministry activity to others. They're just not out waiting amongst the wheat. They're not loving on anybody, serving anybody. They're waiting for people to come serve them. In other words, there's been a great decline in their reaching out and loving and assisting and connecting with individuals in the name of a Savior. And that can happen in a personal life, and that can happen in a church too. We have always got to want to be in the Lord's harvest field, like Ruth. We always want to be wading amongst the wheat. We say, Lord, I want your will, kingdom come, and your will be done on my life as it is in heaven. And I'm going to be out here loving and serving and believing that as I do that, that is going to materialize. And so we keep doing our best to love on one another here and love on people outside and serve in whatever ways we can. You see, otherwise, if we decline in our reaching out and our loving and our assisting and connecting with individuals in the name of the Savior, it's going to hinder us coming to a realization of God's will in our lives. So these things are connected, you see. And that's why the story of Ruth serves as a strong reminder for all of us. Engage in the harvest. There's some people engaging in the harvest, literally. And when I was a kid, I remember singing at church the famous old hymn, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Yeah, I mean, and that's our part. The wheat is people that we gather to the Lord in some way or fashion. But notice the song, we will come rejoicing when we're what? Bringing in the sheaves. Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to encourage you. Engage in the harvest. Step outside yourself. Say, I reconnect my heart to impacting lives for the sake of Jesus. And as you do, you'll witness positive changes of fruitfulness and fulfillment unfolding in your life. As one great minister of yesteryear observes, he says, the grand essentials of happiness are, first, something to do. Second, something to love. And lastly, something to hope for. And I believe all of those things are found in God's harvest field. And so that's why I want to encourage us, even in times where the world is difficult, and we would say we would prefer not to wade into any of that. No, this is the time when we say, Lord, we're going to know your purpose as we continue to wade. Walking through those fields. And yes, loved one, unbeknownst to you, like Ruth, you'll be drawing closer to a new chapter in life as you do. And so, as we close, I want to just declare again to you individually our opening scripture, God's prophetic offer to you today from Isaiah 43. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. Because why? See, I'm doing a new thing. And now it's springing up. Don't you perceive it? I'm going to make a way even in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. I don't know. I hope you're hearing this with me deep in your heart of hearts. The Lord's offering you today a clean slate, a fresh start, a new setting, and a bright hope. In fact, you know, I can actually say in one sentence, the offer of new life in Jesus Christ is this: forgiveness of all that is in your past. That's a clean slate. New life for you here and now, today. That's a fresh start. And a wonderful, bright hope for your future tomorrow. And so I ask you, are you needing a fresh start in life? Maybe you're overcoming some recent challenges. Or maybe you're working to move beyond a hurtful past. Or maybe you're simply looking to become a stronger, more victorious Christian. Whatever your desire, know this. There is a fresh start waiting for you, and I'm asking you to believe that it begins today. I'm believing it for myself. So no matter how long you've been where you are, it's no match for the burden-lifting, yoke-destroying, transforming power of Almighty God. I want to say it out of my own mouth. For myself and for you, as we've seen this morning, the Lord specializes in new beginnings. He's going to do a new thing for you. He's got something just for you. So I want to encourage you that you can begin anew. You can fulfill the vision God's placed in your heart. So I'm asking that you'll let today, be the first day of the rest of your life with this prayer for a fresh start. I'm going to invite you to stand with me now. And if you're so led, please pray this prayer declaration with me out loud together. Let's pray it to the Lord. Are you ready? Because the Lord's listening. Let's pray now together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you love me and desire for me to live a peaceful, happy, abundant life. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you make all things new, and you are working that power in my life right now. No matter what has happened in my past, what mistakes I've made, or where I've missed out on your best for me, it is all changing, beginning now in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Father, I receive your transforming, renewing power in my life today. I declare that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am beginning anew with you today. Help me to throw off everything that hinders me so that I may run the race and take the prize. Now I bind the enemy of my soul, in the name of Jesus, from operating against me in any way. I rebuke the devil from dragging me back to my past or my old ways. I ask you, God, to help me keep from allowing any past events from defining me. I am defined only by who you say I am. You say I am forgiven. You say I am righteous. You say I am special in your sight. You say I am strong in you and the power of your might. You say I have the mind of Christ. You say I am an overcomer. You say I have the victory. I am a child of God. I am set free from the past. This is a new season in my life, and I am expecting great miracles from your hand. I am expecting breakthroughs in areas where I've been held back. healing where I've been broken, revelation where I've felt in the dark, and even physical relocation to where you need me to be. Your mercies are new every morning. This is my fresh start, new setting. I praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Well, amen, everyone. Thank you so much for going through that. Dear one, if you prayed this prayer for a fresh start, yes, it's by faith. I talked about faith extensively last week. By faith, you are stepping into your new beginning. So let there be no looking back, no dwelling on the past, only focusing forward with anticipation. Okay? You promise? Remind me when I need you to do it, okay? I need her to remind me. Yes. But listen, here's the thing. Expect great things from God in your life. There's so much power when we make these prayer declarations together. There truly is. God is good, and he is faithful to complete his work in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I just want to say to someone here today, if you're looking to form a relationship with Christ, you say, hey, Pastor Rod, I know, yes, I'm a sinner and I need to come home to Jesus. I need to come home to God. We want to give you a resource to help you today. You've already made a great start by just participating right now. But this book will be of great help. It's going to be available in the lobby. Pick one up as you head out the door. Read it thoroughly, maybe more than once. There's prayers to pray to open up your life to Christ and invite him in and to surrender your life to him that you might know the will of God. There's also a Gospel of John out there, I believe, that you can take. I encourage you to take that and start reading the Gospel of John. We're going to have a baptism in the near future. People that are coming to faith to profess your faith, we'll let you know about that soon. Be thinking about that, planning about that. Also, come to church regularly. As we said, this is a great place. This is a great grain field right here. Great harvest field here. Out there is a great harvest field. Be in the midst of it. Fresh start, right? New settings. I pray this for the River Church. Fresh start, new settings. Interpret it for us, Master, but we're willing to say yes and amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, I want to leave you now with this blessing. Remind you that there's prayer up here right after the service. Some refreshment in the back if you would like to fellowship a little bit more. So come for prayer if you have need. And there's sign-ups out there, as we had mentioned, about the various announcements. But now may God, who has fed us at his table with the gift of his divine Son, he continue to feed us through the week on the Holy Spirit, that we may be led into every pathway intended for us and possess the joy that he has promised us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Greet one another warmly. Have a wonderful week, online family. It's so good to have you with us. God bless you right where you are. Look, everybody, have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time we're together. God bless you.